Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
We're all ready for a party. We want to celebrate an anniversary, a birthday, a Super Bowl, a concert of our favorite band, a national championship, an Olympic victory, a Christmas present, dog's birthday, a hungry pizza eater's day. In other words, we want to party, and we want it now. That's why we have National Hot Dog Day, or Bathroom Day, or Candy Day, etc., etc. We lump all the holidays together. We have Father's Day, and Mother's Day, and Veterans Day, and Valentine's Day, etc., etc., etc. It seems that we want a special day, every day, to take away from our work or school or anything that bothers us. We seem to want a special day to celebrate by taking off. We embrace every excuse because we are party animals. The problem is that Lincoln's birthday or Washington's birthday is not an equal to Jesus Christ's birthday. You know that we live in a culture here in America where 90% of the people celebrate Christmas. They celebrate it in a very secular way. That is because we don't believe in anything but ourselves. That's the way it's always been. We're shallow people, filled up with cotton candy. And that's true if you lived in the first century or in the 21st. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, you have sent into this world the greatest gift that any of us could ever have. And yet, we sometimes turn away. Oh Lord, I pray that you will forgive our unbelief this day, that we will not be tongue-tied in our adoration or praise of you, that in we will always honor and adore you, and the one you sent. For Father, I know that your desire is to love us and to do well by us. You want us to prosper, to have the abundant life. You want each of us to embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, our King of Kings. Father, may we serve him this day. And may you cast out any word that I might speak that is not in perfect keeping with your word. Father, we don't want to hear that. We did not come to hear it. We have come to hear from you and you alone. We need to know. And so, Father, we ask that you speak to us, that you speak with your still small voice in whatever language is our first language, that you speak to us in the language of love, the language that you know the best, for you are love. We thank you. And we praise you for the unspeakable gift that you have given. May each of us receive it today. May each of us be your perfect servant today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to begin by reading from the Holy Scripture. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, but you can read from whatever you have. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to the registered to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and lay him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them of the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Now there's an invitation to a party. When I was in Hollywood, the greatest party you could go to was not Halloween, but the Oscars. You had a red carpet you could walk on. You had lifelong idols sitting next to you, side by side. You arrived in a chauffeur-driven limousine. You rehearsed your acceptance speech. We have been invited into God's house to have a celebration that never ends. Mary was the first human being invited to give God a home in her life. Mary, like every Jewish girl in her time, would say a prayer each night that encouraged God to send the Messiah through her. Mary was reassured by the angel that Mary's relative, Elizabeth, was already with child. She was well past childbearing age. And so after the shock of learning from the angel that she would conceive a child, a boy child, and that he would be named Jesus. After that incredible thing, she went to Elizabeth's house, and the babe within Elizabeth, which was John the Baptist, leapt in her womb when she arrived. He was proclaiming and announcing that the Messiah was the one that Mary carried. Then, prior to Passover, when John was to be born, Mary went home. At Passover, every good Jew was reminded to go to Jerusalem because they celebrated the Feast of Passover, the party that celebrated the fact that the death angel had passed over every house that was covered with the blood of the Lamb. And at that Passover meal, the youngest person at the meal would say, "Is Elijah come yet?" And they would send the boy off, or the girl off, to Elijah, see if the door would open for him. There was always an extra plate set for him. They would say, "This next year in Jerusalem we'll meet, and surely Elijah will come." John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. He was born on Passover. They saved that moment to celebrate what they all knew was deliverance. Deliverance out of slavery. But they did not anticipate the deliverance from sin that Jesus would bring into every heart. New journey was therefore given to Mary and Joseph. They went to Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem because God put it on the heart of a Roman to announce that there would be a tax, that there would be a census so that they could be counted, so that they could be taxed properly. And everyone was to go to their ancestral home to be counted. So Joseph went to Bethlehem with his betrothed wife and the child she carried. Bethlehem had been the place where David called home. King David called Bethlehem home. He had in his time been about the mountains there, looking after the sheep. And so it was that Joseph arrived with Mary in the place where David grew up as a boy. So Joseph took his wife. Now think about this. The 70 miles from Nazareth to Galilee to Bethlehem. 70 miles. It was a long trip. They were not alone because everybody was going to their favorite place, to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem or their ancestral home, to be registered, to be taxed. And there in Bethlehem, just 4 miles from Jerusalem, there was a stable for them to move into. It was the Festival of Huts. In Hebrew, the word for stable is the same word used for huts. The Festival of Huts was a time when every good practicing Jew would build himself or live in a place that was like a stable. You will still see a creche outside most Orthodox Jewish temples today. They lived in the hut to remember that God, who had delivered them from the bondage in Egypt, for 40 years they had lived in these huts, remembering God's deliverance as he carried them through the 40 years in the wilderness. And so they were there during the hut, the Festival of Remembrance, remembering God was the one who delivered. And God was about to send his great deliverer to Mary, through Mary, to each of us. The Festival of Huts abuts its next to the Festival of Tabernacles. runs directly into it. In the festival of huts, you remember the great deliverer, and Jesus was born during that time, but there's a festival of tabernacles that comes immediately upon the festival of huts. And at tabernacles, the people were to celebrate God's light that had come to bring hope and comfort for everyone to celebrate. It was one of the three feasts that you were commanded to be at. You had to be in Jerusalem for the festival of tabernacles. The shepherds were looking that night over the paschal lambs, the lambs that would be used the next Passover. That was the only reason for shepherds to be out at night. They looked after the lambs just 4 miles from Jerusalem that were going to be the sacrifices. They had to be unspotted. They couldn't be bruised. They couldn't be in any way outside of perfect. They had to be perfect. And the shepherds who looked after them received no special privilege. They were just shepherds looking after the paschal sheep. When suddenly an angel came to them and announced this incredible celebration. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Oh, I want you to think about it just a moment. The announcement comes to people that were nobodies. They were shepherds, for goodness sakes. Shepherds couldn't enter the temple. They were people that were just the low of the lowest. They were unclean. That's the reason they couldn't enter the temple. They were considered such liars and long storytellers. They were Texans. That they just naturally understood nothing. They couldn't even be witnesses at a trial because nobody would believe them. And yet, angels came to them to announce to them the greatest party that was ever going to take place. Suddenly, the angels stood in the midst of announcing the birth of the Savior, who was God with them. Emmanuel, God with us, who would tabernacle in each of our hearts, as what it says in the original language. The shepherds were astonished. They couldn't believe that God would speak to them, first of all, that they were the lowest of the low, they were the nobodies of the world, they were the throwaway people, they were not like the privileged, they were low people. They were stunned. They were astonished. Men who were shunned by everybody. God spoke to them. The first to hear the good news, the news that Jesus Christ had come, the Messiah had arrived. And this would be a sign that he would be found in a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling. I didn't understand that when I first read it. I didn't understand the significance of being born in an animal clinic because the animals outnumbered the people who were there, outnumbered Mary and Joseph. It was an animal place. And he was placed in a manger, in a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Jesus, King of kings, the Lord of lords, comes humbly and at a place where animals fed. Jesus would say at the Last Supper, "This is my body, come eat." He invited to give himself away from the first time. Jesus was that true bread that came down from heaven, that manna from heaven that came down and was the bread by which all men may live. He was the bread that gives eternal life. Jesus heard the shepherds, I'm sure. The shepherds were mumbling around, and they couldn't believe that they had experienced the heavenly choir singing glory to God in the highest. They still were stunned. But they went to see, so they went to Bethlehem and found the baby just as the angels had said, and lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. And during the time of tabernacles, the women who was there at the Festival of Lights would take great vats of oil in the women's court. You see, women were not considered an equal to men or to any other creature. All the men said amen, and all the women said, ah. And my wife went, you can't say that. Women would have the great vats of oil, huge vats of oil. They would stick in the wick, and they would light it, and they would raise it up by a series of pulleys all the way to the top of the women's temple. And the light from those vats could be seen all the way to Egypt. The whole world would be lit up. If you had flown in a satellite, you would have seen the lights that the women had. You know what the wick was? The wick was swaddling cloths. They were the undergarments of the priest. And therefore, the shepherds saw and understood that Jesus, the great high priest, the wick of the light of the world, was laid in a feeding trough, wrapped up that way. In the fullness of time, Jesus, the anointed one, the one from God came. The Messiah came to earth, and in the fullness of time, he will return. Not as a baby this time, but as a full-grown man. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is King. Except that's not a saving proclamation, it's just a statement of Jesus has come. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming again. Now that's something to party about. That's the party that goes on and on and on forever. That's the party that we're invited to. We're invited to the Feast of the Lamb. We're invited because we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And everyone is invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. All of us, every human being, the invitation is for everyone. God's love knows no color. It knows no demographic. It knows no anything. His love covers every human being on this planet. There will be some who will reject. But for those who receive, who will receive but the invitation, they will go on and on partying forever and ever and ever more, because they're in the midst of God once again, where they started, where they began. Now that's a great event. That is something worth partying about. That is something to be shouting about. That is the reason we give. We give because we've been given, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing into our lives. Because we have the health and the wealth and the talent and the skills that God alone has given. We now have that. And we know that God didn't make any garbage. He didn't make anything that the world shuns. He made every person here in the image of his own self. Jesus Christ has come to us as he came to the shepherds. He has come to us announcing the birth of his Son, his only begotten. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen and amen.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.